We're just at the very beginning of this conference, and I'm here with Ed Hammond, who is with the Third World Network. I'm wondering if you can explain to us one of the issues here at the CBD, which seems to be one of the more controversial subjects that will be discussed, is this issue of digital sequence information. So I'm wondering if you can begin by explaining what digital sequence information is and why it's so important, why it's such an important topic of discussion here at the CBD.
Sure. Well, at its most basic, when you're talking about digital sequence information, you're referring to the DNA and RNA sequences associated with an organism. Why has it become an issue at the Biodiversity Convention? Because you can email an organism now, meaning that historically, when scientists wanted to move an organism or genes from an organism from one place to another, they transferred physical material. Somebody put a sample in a vial in an envelope and put it in Federal Express or DHL and sent it around the world. To an increasing extent, that's not necessary now. Certainly for a lot of genes from organisms that could range from the smallest and the simplest to the most complex. And already it's possible for viruses of certain types to literally email the organism from one side of the world to another, email its sequence from one side of the world to another, and within less than about 48 hours, recreate that organism on the other side of the globe.
But what does that mean, recreate the organism? How exactly does that work?
Sure. Well, you can recreate the organism or a piece of it that you're interested in by looking at the gene sequence, which comes in a digital format, and then feeding that sequence to a gene synthesizer. From there, in order to create an organism that's living, there's a variety of different techniques, which would depend upon what type of organism you're talking about. So the reason why this is of particular importance for the CBD in terms of sharing benefits from biodiversity is that historically the Biodiversity Convention has built all of the agreements that implement it around agreements to transfer materials. And so this physical movement of materials from the rainforest, say, to a laboratory in a developed country, historically has been literally a physical movement of vials and samples and slides and all sorts of, you know, physical materials. Increasingly, that doesn't necessarily need to happen for example, a pharmaceutical company or a plant breeding company to locate genes that are potentially very interesting and potentially very profitable.
And then, so can you give a hypothetical scenario in which a digital sequence can be transferred over? What kind of organisms are we talking about? Can you give, let's say, a hypothetical example of how this would work?
Well, I can give you a real example first. A real example, which was possible almost 10 years ago now and is published in peer-reviewed literature, is that when an influenza virus is isolated on one side of the world, typically novel new influenza viruses appear in Southeast Asia or in other parts of Asia. It can be, once it is sequenced, which is something that takes about 24 hours, potentially less, that sequence can be sent across the world and within a couple of days converted back into a virus. And that literally has been done for close to 10 years now, or has been possible for close to 10 years. Why would it be important? The first published example of this happening was a new influenza virus that was thought to be potentially pandemic, which appeared in China. And its sequence was transmitted via the internet, and a vaccine virus was created in less than 72 hours in the United States. That vaccine virus obviously is of tremendous value, and it may be that China or other countries that were involved in its isolation and sequencing would have an interest in how the vaccine virus is used. You can also take examples from really any area of biology where, for example, if one wished to locate new and interesting traits in tomato plants, by taking the gene sequence of dozens or hundreds of different wild tomatoes or cultivated types of tomatoes from different parts of the world. The wild tomatoes come from the Andean countries mainly. And you can compare those gene sequences, and if you have knowledge of where those particular isolates came from, so for example, if I'm looking for a gene that promotes drought resistance, I can look at dozens of different tomato varieties from, say, Peru or coastal Ecuador, where there are dry climates, and try to identify the variability there that potentially imparts an ability to survive drought, which would be a trait that could be of great potential commercial value. In terms of process at the CBD, the subject was initially raised in a group more than 3 years ago now that was looking at synthetic biology. The focus was changed a little bit in the Cancun meeting of the Biodiversity Convention because it was recognized that there's a particular set of issues related to sequence information that also relate to benefit sharing. And that's really one of the fundamental cornerstones of the Biodiversity Convention is that the benefits from use of biodiversity be shared equitably. Unfortunately, right now we don't have a system to equitably share benefits from use of digital sequence information. So companies that are acquiring it, and we know that there are not only the large public databases like GenBank and the DNA Data Bank of Japan that people speak of frequently, but there are also private databases that are beginning to basically hoard and acquire large amounts of sequence information. Companies are presently using that, and presently the process is not transparent and benefit sharing is not happening. So in the long run, this poses a real problem for this convention.
Can you explain, when it comes to access and benefit sharing, what is the point of contention? Is the issue that digital sequence information is not considered, like it's not a hardware, it's a software that can then be openly obtained and openly used and openly exploited? Is that the issue, or are there other issues with regard to access and benefit sharing that are being discussed here in the CBD?
There are countries that argue, and I think that there is some sense to this argument, that it's meaningless at this point in time to differentiate between the quote-unquote hardware version of an organism, meaning a physical biological organism, versus the quote-unquote software version, that being the digital sequence information. And if it's the case that there's no reason to make that distinction, then in practical terms, that would mean that digital sequence information falls under the scope of the Nagoya Protocol for access and benefit sharing.
The Nagoya Protocol is what?
The Nagoya Protocol is a sub-agreement to the Biodiversity Convention, which is specifically to implement its third objective, which is the equitable sharing of benefits from use of biodiversity. You utilize the genetic resource, you utilize the physical material to generate the sequence information. So use of sequences is basically utilization of the genetic resource. And this is actually a point that's fairly well, I wouldn't say agreed, but most countries, including many developed countries, would tend to agree with that. So we have a situation where there are a lot of wealthy countries that are kind of sticking their head in their sand, trying to avoid this discussion and trying to delay this discussion. But at the end of the day, it's almost impossible to argue that benefit sharing isn't required for digital sequence information. So what we really need to do is get beyond this, beyond the delaying tactics of the wealthy countries at this point, and sit down and have a real serious conversation about how we're going to do benefit sharing for sequence information, because it will be different than how it's done for physical materials.
And so what I understand is that the entire text on digital sequence information is in brackets, is that correct? In square brackets?
Correct.
So what does that mean? You have these long texts, and a lot of the contentious issues are around particular language that's used to decide how these agreements will be finalized. So what does it mean when that this particular DSI issues in square brackets?
Well, what it means is that attempts to negotiate over it have thus far failed. So the brackets indicate disagreement. What has happened is that over the last 2 years, digital sequence information was considered in a technical process under the Biodiversity Convention. The truth of the matter is that this is something of a policy, political issue. There's been a lack of progress in terms of creating a decision text that's agreed by everyone because we've been pretending to an extent that it's a technical issue when it's really a much more political one. And this meeting, as the political form of the CBD, will hopefully change that.
And in terms of access and benefit sharing, how would, let's say, if at this convention it's agreed that benefit sharing is to occur and so on, how would benefit sharing look? What does that mean in practice for developing countries that have genetic resources or other resources that can be sequenced? What would that mean? What would that look like?
Well, formally, there's been no agreement on how benefit sharing would look, but I can make a few observations. First of all, there's been a lot of very unfortunate scaremongering in the scientific community, assuming that if there's benefit sharing for digital sequence information, that each and every transfer of a sequence would require a lot of paperwork and great difficulty. And this is simply not true. No one is proposing to subject every transfer of every genetic sequence to an elaborate legal protocol. What I think a lot of observers, including myself, are thinking of when we think about when we arrive at the next step, which is defining what the system looks like, I think that we look to examples like software licenses items that are distributed digitally, but which have terms and conditions and licenses associated with it. So where I'm aiming, to speak for myself at least, is an end state where the sequences of organisms can continue to be publicly shared on the internet in databases. But in order to access those databases and in order to use them, you need to agree to terms and conditions. And the most important of those terms and conditions in terms of benefit sharing will be, if you use these sequences to create a commercial product and you're generating profits from it, or if you even file for patent on it, that you're liable to pay benefits, possibly to an international fund, which would use that in turn to support biodiversity.